When the Stanley Cup playoffs come around, it's time to go big or go home.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
We're going big with CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Get game previews, player and coach reactions. Plus, you can join the conversation by sending in your questions and comments at Bobby Mac Sports on Twitter.
As of right now, we're in the playoffs.
Now, to tell you like it is, as he always does, here's Bob McGilligan.
The Blue Jackets have been smoking their way through the playoffs so far, and it continues tonight at 7:30 at Nationwide Arena. Game 4 of their second round series with the Boston Bruins will get underway. The Blue Jackets are leading the series to the tune of 2-1. Welcome to CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McGilligan. Well, the big story yesterday, of course, was not the play of the Blue Jackets, was not the Blue Jackets leading the series. I mean, it was. It was to an extent, but the biggest story yesterday was about Brad Marchand and the punch to the back of the head of Scott Harrington. That was the big deal. That was everywhere. And it started after the game on Tuesday night. It started when the footage came out and then the post-game shows started to focus on it. They started to talk about it. It's a play at the net. And it's right at the end of the play. The whistle blows. Harrington's actually down on his knees. Marchand's standing right near him. And he reaches out with a glove and he punches him right in the back of the head. Boone Jenner was upset about it and had words for Brad Marchand at the time. It went no further than words, which is a good thing. It's a good thing on the part of the Blue Jackets, because had there been retaliation right then and there, I could definitely have seen the Boston Bruins getting a power play out of that. Because so many times in this game, this is what you'll see. And this is at all levels, by the way. This is not a critique and a criticism of NHL officiating. This is how it works. Because I've told my son this from the time he started to play the game, that the guy that retaliates is the guy that winds up in the penalty box most of the time. Many times they miss the initial infraction, but they always get the guy that responds to it and comes back after the guy that they didn't see do a thing, right? I mean, it happens all the time, and it happens, I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 35. That's how it happens. So the Blue Jackets, good on them for having the discipline not to go chasing that guy at that time of the game and maybe finding themselves in the penalty box because of it. That's great discipline, and that's exactly what he was trying to invoke. Don't even think anything other than that. I mean, this is a guy that I would imagine is getting frustrated now. He doesn't have any goals. He is struggling just to have any type of a scoring chance or set up one of his line mates to get a goal. So there's a frustration there. So what do you do if there's frustration? Well, maybe you try to draw a penalty. Maybe you try to get your team on the power play when you're trailing by one goal late in the game. Now, from that standpoint, that's a smart play. And don't yell yet. It's a smart play to draw the penalty. The way he went about doing it was not so smart. Not smart at all. And that's why it drew attention. Seth Weeks said to me on Twitter, "Would love your take on that blatant cheap shot to the head of Scotty Harrington." Well, my take is what I just said. He's trying to draw a penalty. Does it in the dumbest way possible, quite frankly. And now, guess what? The league looked at it. They decided there's not going to be a suspension, which I never thought there was. And nor do I advocate a suspension on Brad Marchand. I don't. In fact, from the time that it even came up, and it came up amongst you, it didn't come up amongst, the media. They weren't reporting where there could be a suspension on this. It's amongst the fans. It's amongst the fans. You see it and you think, oh, man, that's an egregious penalty. There should be a suspension for that. You know, look what, oh, heck, what's his name? I can't even see. What's his name? The guy that led the league in scoring all through the regular season, Kucherov. He hits Marcus Nuttavaara, gets him with a cheap shot to the head in the Tampa series. He gets suspended for a game. So a lot of people looked at it and go, oh, he shouldn't be suspended. He's not going to get suspended for that. Not going to get suspended for that at all. And, again, I'm fine if he doesn't get suspended. What do you mean you're fine if he doesn't get suspended? Why? I mean, that's a bad hit. Shouldn't be targeting a guy's head. Here's the league talking about not going after the head, and then he went after the head. What do you mean there shouldn't be suspension? I like him just where he is right now, Brad Marchand. I like him where he is right now. Now, he could change my mind by all of a sudden finding the back of the net. He could change my mind by all of a sudden making a play that results in a goal that is the deciding goal in beating the Blue Jackets in a game. He could change my mind. But my mind right now says this guy has been a non-factor for his team. He's been a bigger factor for the Blue Jackets to this point because he has taken two penalties in this series. And those two power plays that the Blue Jackets have received, they have scored goals, and they have been big goals, including the one that Matt Duchene scored on in Game 3, which gave the Blue Jackets their second goal, which gave them enough goals to win the game. So if he is frustrated, if he is on the ice and finding his way to the penalty box, to me that is much more effective than him being suspended and not doing something outside the rules that will give the Blue Jackets a chance to actually benefit from it. So I'm fine. I'm fine. I guess the commissioner said that there should have been a penalty called on it, but, you know, whatever. That's so easy to say in hindsight. And there are four officials out there. Two of them are supposed to call penalties. The other two are the linesmen. They can be consulted if they see something, if the two referees bring them in. But, again, those things happen. They happen at the end of plays. The guys are looking at other things. You know, there's a million TV cameras. It's so easy to pick it up later after the fact. So easy. But in the heat of the moment, I can understand how it gets missed. Now, something else just came to my mind, but before I get to that, I want to continue on this for just a moment here. Because yesterday, Nick Foligno was asked about it. And I thought Nick had the absolute proper response from the Blue Jackets' standpoint, to that hit and what should happen from here on out. Here's Nick Foligno after practice yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a play that you like to see in hockey, but I'm not going to really worry about it. We got more important things to worry about. So, I mean, what we did was get the win. And so we just got to keep going about our business. And I've told you guys from the start of the postseason, I mean, I'm never going to worry about the other team. We can handle punches. We've all taken them at some point, you know, and it's just part of the game. But that is not part of the game, I will say. But we're just going to go about playing the game the right way and doing what we need to do to win hockey games.
Can I, before I continue on my little rant here, I want to take a quick timeout, 30-second timeout, and I want to talk about Nick Foligno because in watching him through these playoffs, listen, I interview Nick how many times a year? Million? So many times he's out there after practice almost every day. He's out there after the morning skate every day. He's out there after almost every game, win or lose. That's his job as the captain. I understand it's his job. He faces the media, good or bad, and, you know, that's part of what he has to do. Like it or not, that's what you do as the captain. You are the spokesperson for the team. But I think these are situations where Nick Foligno really shines. And when I was listening to him yesterday, it took me back to when the All-Star game was played here. And the Blue Jackets didn't have a captain at the time, remember? And Nick Foligno was chosen to represent his team, the East team, for the All-Star game. He was the captain. It was played in Nationwide Arena, so he got the captaincy. And even though that was a team that you didn't need a captain for, because it's an All-Star team, and it's just, you know, it looks nice on your jersey that you're going to have for all time in a frame, Nick was a spokesperson, and, you know, that a lot of that had to do with the fact it was in Columbus, and he represented the city. not just the Blue Jackets themselves. And he did a great job of it. And I think a lot of that is what got him to this position as the captain. And don't forget, he didn't get appointed under John Tortorella. He already had that role when Tortorella arrived. And there have been times that Tortorella has said that he didn't think that Nick was going to be able to grasp this role as he has. And that's not a knock on him. I mean, it's just, you know, what Tortorella saw when he first got here out of Nick Foligno and what he sees now are two different things. They've worked together. Nick has grown in a leadership role, and now he's a perfect fit. And that's what I thought yesterday. What a perfect fit for this guy. This is the greatest stage for Nick Foligno because he is a witty guy. He's a smart guy. He is a very well-spoken guy. And all those games that you lose during the regular season, you lose on a Tuesday night at home to Arizona, those games, they stink to be out there and talking about those games. And that's when you get into cliches and you hear the same old thing and, you know, hey, I love this team. I love being the captain of these guys. And, you know, and it wears thin at points because it's the regular season. And sometimes there's just nothing else to say. But I think this is a great stage for Nick Foligno to show who he is, show his personality, represent the Blue Jackets, and represent Columbus. So I just wanted to take a step back to say all of that because I've been so impressed with this guy and how he's handled things. Now, to go back to the Marchand thing here. Again, you heard what Nick said. We all take punches. It's the playoffs. That's just the way you do it. The Blue Jackets cannot come out in this game tonight and be looking for that guy. They can't be looking to get an extra shot in on him or anything like that. But I will tell you who will be looking for him. For the rest of the series now, the officials will watch him even more closely. Why? Well, because there's criticism. Because people said, why didn't he get a penalty? Why was there not a penalty call? And the commissioner says, well, there probably should have been a penalty call. So if you think that the officials from here on out, no matter how long this series lasts, if you think they're not going to have an extra eye on that guy, you're wrong. He's just put himself right in the crosshairs because now he has to be almost perfect because any little thing that he does has the potential of him going to the penalty box. No matter how blatant, no matter how big, little tiny hook on the hands, you know what, maybe we'll call that because he should have been in the box two games ago. And the referees change every game. I get it. I understand. But they all know the lay of the land. They all know what happened before. And knowing the situation, believe me, there will be extra eyes on him the rest of the series. So thank you, Brad Marchand. Thank you for drawing that attention to yourself. Thank you for not hurting Scott Harrington. Because Harry is fine. Still does his job. Does it well. So thank you for not hurting him. Thank you for bringing more attention to yourself. And now the Blue Jackets should just go out, do their job. If they get a chance to draw him into a situation where he puts himself in jeopardy, that's fine. But don't target him. Don't go out of your way to go get him. I don't think there's any need for that. I think that the situation will take care of itself. I think it will police itself. I really do. And besides, this is about winning four games. It's not about getting back at a guy who is notorious for doing these kinds of things, especially in the playoffs. It's not about you. It's about all of us. And I don't mean you and I. I'm talking about from a team standpoint, right? It's not about one guy. It's about the group. It's about the collective. Here's the job. Here's the goal. Let's just keep the eye on the prize, not get distracted by this little guy running around doing his stuff over here. Eye on the prize. Speaking of eye on the prize, coming up next, you'll hear some comments from John Tortorella from his media availability yesterday. He likes what his team has done, but he sees where there are some improvements that need to be made prior to Game 4. You'll hear all about that as we continue with CBJ at 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Bob McElligott with you, CBJ at 30 Live. It's presented by Telhio Credit Union. Coming up, Scott Laughlin. He's an NHL radio host, and we're going to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs in just a little bit. Just got a message from my buddy Brad, and the message was simply this. When is Don Cherry coming on the show? That's a great question. That is a great question. And I need to reach out to him, to be honest. I think he and I could have a great conversation about just about anything. You know, during the Bruins series, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, he's once upon a time was the coach of the Boston Bruins. But I love Don Cherry. You know, as he gets older and some of his rants, people go crazy about it. But I love it. Because you know I'm an old soul. You know that I love the old-time stuff. You know I'm like Torts. I see it the same way as, you know, probably why the Marchand thing, you know, I punch him in the back of the head. No big deal. Don't worry about it. Let him take penalties. You know, my outlook, it's, you know, I don't go, oh, my God, he hit him. He hit him in the head. Well, of course he hit him in the head. Here's another funny thing. And I just thought, I've got like 18 random thoughts in my head right now. You know, we have a commercial with Boone Jenner talking about bike safety and helmets. And I was just thinking maybe we should redo the commercial and have Scott Harrington do it, right? Because he knows what it's like to have a helmet on and protect himself from, you know, punches from small guys that are lurking behind you. So that's another thought. Hey, did you hear this? The Blue Jackets watch parties that have been going on, they're going big time. It's like the watch party on steroids. And it's okay for a watch party. There's no testing for that. Watch parties can go on steroids. Let me tell you what I mean. The watch party is going to Nationwide Arena for Game 5 on Saturday. That game will be played in Boston. It's presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. And there's another million thoughts, and I'm not going to go into those right now. Anyway, the party's at Nationwide Arena. I get these things from the marketing people, and I love our marketing people, but they don't know how to write conversationally. They just don't. I wish they did. Like, if I would write it, I would just say, hey, we're inviting you out to the arena. No, it's because fans are invited to gather at the home of the Blue Jackets. Come on, man. So let me just put it to you in layman's terms. Let me dumb it down so that people like you and I can get it, okay? Here's the deal. The watch party, it's presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's at Nationwide Arena. The NBC national broadcast is going to be on the scoreboard. The doors open at 6. The game starts at 7:10, 7:15, whenever TV says drop the puck. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a game-like atmosphere. The arena music will play. There'll be in-game entertainment. Goal celebrations when the Blue Jackets score. That means a cannon will fire, even though the team is going to be miles away in Boston. There will be a Blue Jackets photo booth. There will be street hockey in the IGS Energy Zone. There's going to be face painters there. Sign-making stations. You can make a sign. Carry it around with you if you want. The concession stands will be open for food and drink. Tickets are $5 to get in. $5. You can go to BlueJackets.com to get those tickets, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit the Blue Jackets Foundation. Okay? So come out. You're going to have everything you normally have except the game being played in front of you. It's going to be played on the video board. And I know this. I know this. I don't know when or how or if it's going to get done, but I know they're working on showing you the NBC broadcast but giving you the audio feed from Jody Shelley and me instead of Doc Emrick and Mike Milbury, which I haven't heard those guys at all, but I've read your comments, and from the comments I've read, I think you would appreciate listening to Jody and I just a little bit more. Just my guess. But I'm usually a pretty good guesser. John Tortorella getting his team ready for Game 4, and he feels there are improvements that need to be made. Here's some of his comments from yesterday at his press conference. After practice, first thing he was asked was about giving information. He's talked about this. He always talks about this. He never wants to give his players too much information. But in a playoff series, same team, day in and day out, going into Game 4, he was asked about the amount of information that he gives them without oversaturating his team.
That's the fine line we walk. I think all coaches in playoffs is you are in a series. You're playing against the same team for 2 weeks. You'd be remiss if you didn't go over tendencies and, and certain things that you think your team's going to see from the opposition. I'll put it to you this way. We have a lot of things on our mind about how we need to play, but how much gets to the players? I think that's the thing. Quite honestly, I've viewed the tape, and we have a number of things we need to improve in as we keep pushing forward for game four. I think we have a number of things we need to improve on that we're going to bring to light tomorrow in our morning meeting. And I think we need a number of players playing better. So as the series keeps on going, now it's game four. So we're still there. I think we have to give them information. This is sometimes after a game, I'm not, you know, it could have been after game one. I don't know. We felt we didn't need to give them stuff, but I think we need to give them some information tomorrow. So that's how there's no blueprint. It's just how you read your team and what's going on in the series.
John, you've talked several times in this postseason about not settling after a goal or a win. Does that get easier as the postseason goes along because you're closer to the mountaintop you're trying to climb, or harder because you're farther away from the valley?
No, we're mountaintop. Don't even start using that word. We're game four into the second round. Lori, I'll put it to you this way. You win your home game. Great building last night. You win it. That's where we need to lever ourselves out now. I hope they enjoyed themselves last night. They should feel good about themselves. But these games could be going either way. And I think they're smart enough to realize that. They came to work today. I think they're showing a maturity of just each day you come in here, just make sure you leveled out and get ready for our next game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Not just what Torch said about you've got to be leveled out. I think he's dead on. I think his team is approaching this as a business. The guys, during the regular season, it's just completely different. You know, they talk about moving on from one game to the next game, but they have in these playoffs, and they've had some big wins in these playoffs, and they haven't treated it like, oh, this is fantastic. We've got this taken care of. They know this series could be the other way around in a heartbeat, just like that. Hey, they could have won that first game in overtime. They could be up 3-0. They could have lost the second game in overtime. They could have lost the other game the other night. They could be down 3-0. It's the beauty of this, the beauty and the curse of the playoffs. It's that simple. Coming up next, I'm going to talk with Scott Laughlin, and he is a host on NHL Radio. He's always doing the game day broadcast every morning. In fact, I'm going to be on with him. So we're going to reciprocate a little bit, scratch each other's back, if you will. I mean, not literally, just figuratively. I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union, though, right now. At Telhio, whether it's personal banking, business banking, whatever, they've got it all for you. They've got different services, whatever it is that you might need. You might need a personal loan. Maybe there's something you want to buy. Maybe you want a car. Maybe you need to make improvements to your home, whatever it is. So personally, they can help you with a personal loan. Maybe you've got a small business and you need a business loan. Hey, they can do that too. They can do it all. They've been doing it all. They've been going above and beyond for over 80 years. It's not a big deal. It is just their job, and they do their job well. Go to their website, telhio.org, surf around, get all the information. Why should you become a member of a credit union? The answer's there. The information's there. Maybe not the answer. You've got the answer. But to get to the answer, you need the information. It's all right there. Live chat option, too, if you want to talk to somebody. The other thing you can do is stop by any local office of Telhio Credit Union. They're open to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. Scott Laughlin of NHL Radio. After this, as we continue with CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Blue Jackets and the Bruins tonight, 7:30, game four. The Blue Jackets trying to put a stranglehold on this series. They lead 2-1, and they could put that stranglehold on if they can get a win on home ice tonight. Plaza Party starts at 4 o'clock today outside of Nationwide Arena. You don't even have to have a ticket, by the way. You can come down, enjoy the party on the plaza, and you can watch the game outside the arena on the big screens that are set up there. But make sure if you're around Nationwide Arena, you stop by Tim Hortons and pick up a Stinger donut. Why? Because for everyone that you buy, Tim Hortons is going to donate $1 to the Blue Jackets Foundation. I am joined right now by Scott Laughlin, and he is the host of NHL Game Day on SiriusXM NHL Radio Channel 91. Scott, thanks for coming on with me. It is a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it always is with you as well, Bob. Looking forward to tonight. I can just feel the atmosphere even all the way up here in Toronto as far as what the enthusiasm and the passion and the excitement for this Blue Jackets hockey team has to offer.
By the way, can I tell you, no offense to anybody else on that channel, but you've got the best voice. I mean, you've got the most authoritative, here it is. I mean, seriously, were you a rock and roll DJ at one point in your life? Because you should have been.
I was a wannabe rock and roll DJ, and I try to get my fix, Bob, as you know, on my show every day because I like to hit the post as much as possible when it comes to the songs, too. So I guess I was a wannabe DJ, and somehow, some way, I found my way into sports announcing.
I love that, and I've noticed that about you hitting the post, as they say. That's where you talk, to put it in layman's terms. You talk right up to when the words start. You want to get right there, and you want to nail it. And,
absolutely.
And when you do it, it's a great feeling about it, too. But not only do I love how you do that, but I love the music you play on your show because it's right in my genre.
Well, that's the whole thing, Bob. I mean, look, we're of a certain vintage. We're of a certain demographic, and I think that, you know, a lot of people listen to our shows that are of this age group, too. So I think it appeals to a lot of people, and you know, a lot of people say that I'm stuck in the 1980s, Bob. My response to that would be that great music never goes out of style. It's timeless. It lives on forever. And certainly if I've got my way, I'm going to try to make that happen.
You know, I got to ask you one more music question because I think this is funny now because here we are almost at 2020. And you're talking about the 80s. When I was a kid and my dad was putting on stuff from the 50s and early 60s, I was like, are you kidding me? What is it? I don't want to listen to this stuff. Now all the stuff that's 40 years old, I'm like, yeah, where is that? Give me that stuff right now.
Well, it's like a great wine, Bob. It just gets better with age, I guess. And you're right. I mean, every generation feels like probably the generation or era that they grew up in was probably the best of all time. And I guess that's always going to be the way. But like I said, because you and I are of that vintage and of that demographic, it certainly applies to us.
All right. Let's get to talking some hockey here. I guess that's what people want us to talk about. I could talk with you about this all day. But you talked about being in Toronto and, you know, just feeling the vibe of these playoffs. Of course, it was the Maple Leafs that were knocked out by the Boston Bruins. Now the Bruins find themselves down a game to the Blue Jackets. Having watched Boston in that first round and now watched them in the first three games of this second round series, what are your thoughts on the Boston Bruins? Do you see any fatigue setting in with them? Do you see frustration setting in with them? Maybe some things that Toronto got a little bit of but just couldn't finish off.
Bob, I think the difference in this series here as far as Boston goes is just the opponent. I think the Jackets are a much tougher matchup for Boston than Toronto was. From this standpoint, Toronto's a speedy, skilled-type team. They're not overly big. They're not overly physical, which is exactly, of course, what Columbus can do to you. They can win the battles in the corner. They can win the one-on battles at the sideboards. I think that they're bigger, stronger, and more physical than Boston is, and I think that's proven to be something that's worked to their advantage so far early on in this series. And you know, that's something that Toronto really never really offered up as far as resistance goes against the Boston Bruins. And I really think that because of the styles of play of Toronto and of Columbus and the difference in those styles of play, I think Boston's run into a bit of an obstacle here, a huge obstacle, a roadblock perhaps that they may not be able to overcome in the end.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It is far from over. We all know that. But what has impressed you the most about the Blue Jackets, the last team to qualify for the playoffs, if you will, and then went in and steamrolled Tampa? As you watch it from a distance, what have you been most impressed by?
Bob, I've been of the belief year after year after year that I think you have to hit the playoffs running, and I think you have to go into the postseason on a bit of a roll. They had to win all these games down the stretch, and I think for the Jackets fan base, I can probably safely assume that it was a little bit too close for comfort at times for them to get in, but when they did get in, they were playing, you know, arguably their best hockey of the season, and I think that we've seen instances of that going into the playoffs with teams like Columbus, and over in the West, you've got St. Louis that are in a situation now where they still got best of three home ice advantage over the Dallas Stars. I think it means something to go into the playoffs with momentum. And then you factor in Sergei Bobrovsky, who clearly has exorcised his playoff demons and is on a roll here at the best time of the season. You've got a top shutdown pair of Seth Jones and Zach Werenski that's going to be good for so many more years to come. And again, just that sort of bump and grind physical type style where guys like Boone Jenner can come to the forefront. And I think Boone Jenner's the type of guy, as you know, Bob, that's really custom made and tailor made for the postseason. He's a big bodied guy that wins those aforementioned one-on-one battles that I've mentioned. And as we saw the other night, he's still got that offensive upside that can come to the surface every so often. So I think all of this comes together, and that's why Columbus has the lead so far on Boston.
You know, the thing I love the most about Boone Jenner is he can play on any line. I mean, he's being asked to play on the fourth line right now, but he can play on any line. He has predominantly been a winger in his NHL career, but this year has played mostly at center. That versatility really comes into play during these kinds of series, doesn't it?
I think so. And, you know, Boone Jenner's the type of guy, Bob, that when he was in junior hockey with the Oshawa Generals, he was more of an offensive player. We saw him at the World Juniors for Team Canada. He was the team captain. He was more of an offensive player. Look, you guys saw it early on in his career. He's capable of scoring 30 goals, and sometimes that can be the kiss of death for a player because once you get to that 30-goal plateau, you kind of expect it season in and season out. But if he's going to be a guy that maybe turns out to be more or less a 20-goal scorer that can play his best hockey, like we're talking about here at playoff time, with a bigger-bodied type guys usually tend to win out. I think that he's going to be a great advantage for the Jackets, not only for years to come, but certainly in this series against Boston.
You know, he just made me remember something. The year that he scored 30, he comes back in the next year for training camp. And you know how it is when you're interviewing players and you haven't done it for months. So I'm doing an interview with Boone, and this is like first day of camp or something like that. And I'm rusty too. I'm out of sorts, right? And I'm asking him these questions, and I say about the 30 goals, I go, can you do it again? And he kind of gets stopped there, and he gives me the answer. But anyway, when the interview ends, he looks at me and goes, tough questions, hey, Bobby? And I go, I say, you know what, Boone, I'm sorry. I'm in training camp too. You know, and he hit the 30 for the first time. I think he is more the 20 guy. Get 20 and play your ass off.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Bob, we had a guy in Toronto in Nikolai Kuhlman that scored 30 goals one season for the Maple Leafs. And everybody thought Nikolai Kuhlman, hey, he's going to get 30 every season. I mean, we saw the same thing with Brian Little earlier in his career when he made that transition from Atlanta to Winnipeg and such. And when you get to 30, everybody expects it again. And sometimes people are even saying, well, what about 40? Is that out of the realm of possibility? And it does raise the bar sometimes, I think, a little bit unfairly, because sometimes guys just kind of tap out and they max out on their offensive potential. But as we see, if you're going to be a 20-goal scorer and can play your best at playoff time, like Boone Jenner certainly is, I think he's going to be a guy that can be a difference maker for years to come.
Yeah, poor Cam Atkinson is going to be expected to get 50 next year now after 41 this year. Talking with Scott Laughlin, he is the host of NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Radio Channel 91. You mentioned Seth Jones a few moments ago, and I know you watch the whole league and you know what's going on, but I think there are a lot of people that didn't realize how good Seth Jones actually is, and he is stepping forward in these playoffs, isn't he?
He really is, and he's the type of guy, too, that really gives you so many facets of his game that are tailor-made to today's NHL in terms of being a big physical body presence when he has to be. I think he's a very good puck mover. He's a good outlet passer of the puck. He's the type of guy that can quarterback for you there on the point. So he has so many different physical attributes, I think, that so many NHL defensemen just simply don't have. And, you know, as you've seen in this series, I mean, when he and Zach Werenski have to play in the role of a shutdown-type component, they can do that as well. So I think he's such a well-rounded defenseman. And I went on record years and years ago, Bob, is saying that I think Victor Hedman is going to be a guy who's earmarked for a Norris Trophy win at some point during his career. Sure enough, he did it going back to last year. I would say the same thing at this point about Seth Jones. I mean, I'd be shocked at the end of his career. I know Shea Weber's gotten close three different times and came up as a runner-up, and very likely is never going to win that trophy now as top defenseman. He had a good run and came very, very close. I think at some point here in the next couple of years, though, Bob, it's pretty clear to me that Seth Jones is going to break through and he's going to be making an acceptance speech in Vegas as the top defenseman in the league.
Oh, I'm going to let him know you predicted that and the Hedman thing because he'll be happy about that. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to ask you. Carolina last night defeats the New York Islanders. They are up 3-0 in that series. Shocking to me, by the way. Not shocking that Carolina's playing well, just the fact that the Islanders haven't been able to squeak out at least one win. Do you think we're going to see an Eastern Conference final that will involve two wild card teams?
It appears that that's where we might be headed, Bob, and I'm all for it. I mean, I'm all for it. Everybody likes, you know, the story and the history, the tradition of teams like the Boston Bruins and what Pittsburgh certainly has accomplished since Sidney Crosby got there and their three cups since he got there and the whole bit. Hey, Washington's got Ovechkin and they're a marquee franchise in the league because of all that going on. I love the National Hockey League at this time of the year more so than any other sport. And I'm a huge sports fan, as you are as well, Bob. But, I mean, the National Hockey League's got something going for it that I think of other professional leagues, and I think that they're wanting in trying to get to where the NHL's at, and that is competitive balance. You can call it parity if you want. I prefer to call it competitive balance. I think that anybody that gets into the Stanley Cup playoff tournament, Bob, it's been proven time and time again, going back to when Carolina won the Stanley Cup back in 2006. When Edmonton got to the Stanley Cup back in 2006 and they snuck into the playoffs as an 8 seed in the Western Conference, I think it's been proven time and time again, year after year, Bob, that if you get into the tournament and you're one of the 16, anything can happen. And sure enough, we're in the midst of an historic run this season for the NHL, where all four wild cards advance past the first round. It is the postseason of unpredictability. And I got to say, Bob, like I said, I'm all for it. I love the fact that these teams are in and these markets are just, you know, reinvigorated. I don't think that the Columbus market, as you guys know, Bob, really ever went away. I just think now that the loyalty and the passion of the fan base down there, where they filled the rink year after year after year, despite not much in the way of playoff success, I think right now they're just starting to see the fruits of the labor, and I think the fan base down there is getting deservedly rewarded, and I think that everybody's enjoying it. There's no question about that.
Oh, man, I talk about it more on the street today than I ever have in the 10 years I've been here, believe me. It's everybody's into it. So I think if the Blue Jackets make it to the Eastern Conference Final, you should come on site to do your show. I think that would be great.
Oh, I'd love to get back down there again, Bob. I mean, I saw you guys down there during the All-Star weekend a few years ago, Columbus, Ohio, just great hosts, I think, for the National Hockey League that particular weekend. And we got a little taste of it then as to what this could turn out to be. But there's nothing better, as you guys are now experiencing, Bob, than having some playoff success and everybody inside the arena, 19,000-plus, worked up into a real rabid state of affairs and emotions. And then outside the arena, you got the fans, of course, congregating around screens and having parties outside the arena. There's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially when you're having success at this time of the year, Bob.
Scott, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later on your show.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Scott Laughlin from NHL Radio. He hosts NHL Game Day, and it's on Sirius XM Channel 91. I'll be back to wrap up today's CBJ and 30 Live, presented by Telhio Credit Union. 7:30 tonight, Nationwide Arena, Game 4 of this Eastern Conference semifinal playoff series, Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins. Blue Jackets are up 2-1. If you have tickets for tonight's game, but you haven't found out about the VIP parties, well, then shame on you. It's very easy to do. Go to bluejackets.com/playoff parties. There are two different ones. One is the Great Lakes party. The other is the High Bank VIP party. Look, you get early admission to the arena. You get your own private area. Your food and drink is inclusive in the price. So if you've already got your tickets, why not treat yourself and do this as well? I mean, it just makes sense. It's a no-brainer. bluejackets.com/playoff parties. Again, big party at the arena on Saturday. Watch party. As it's moving to the arena, $5 to get in. The concession stands will be open. The music will be playing. The cannon will be firing when the Blue Jackets score. A portion of the proceeds from the admission will go to the Blue Jackets Foundation. So that's going to be great. And it's going to be brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer. So that is on Saturday when the Blue Jackets go up to Boston for Game 5. Will that be a chance to take the series? Well, that depends on what happens tonight, as the Blue Jackets can really put a stranglehold on this thing with a win on home ice tonight. I'd like to thank Scott Laughlin from NHL Radio for joining me today. His appearance was brought to you by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers in the new 2019 Kia Sorento. Conquer your mountain. And I was thinking about this. I told you earlier that my buddy Brad asked when Don Cherry's coming on the show. I rack my brains trying to find the best guests to bring on here every day. And I think I've been pretty successful over the course of these. What have we been doing this for? 3 weeks? It's not easy sometimes, first of all, coming up with somebody and then getting a time where they can commit and all that stuff. But it's fun. I think it's been very informative. It's been fun for me. But maybe there's somebody that you would like me to talk to, somebody you would like to hear from in the hockey world that I haven't thought of. So you can make a request. If there's somebody you want to hear from, just send me a tweet at Bobby Mac Sports. And give me a suggestion. I'm not going to promise you I'll get that person. I'm not going to tell you I will. I'm not going to tell you I won't. What I am going to tell you is that, you know, I'm trying to think of people that would interest you, but maybe there's somebody that would interest you that I haven't thought of. So you might as well help me out here. I mean, it is a two-way street. It is a team game, right? So if there's somebody that you would like to hear from, and I don't necessarily mean your neighbor, but if your neighbor's very knowledgeable, maybe. I got this guy that keeps – I keep getting an email from this guy who is called – I don't know if I have time to look it up before I get down to the last minute here. But anyway, I keep getting a request from this guy to put a guy on the show. He's called the Dr. Hockey or the Hockey Doctor or something like that. Anyway, oh, here it is. Here it is. The Dr. Hockey. This guy hosts a podcast called the Dr. Hockey Podcast. This guy is a California plastic surgeon who then has a passion for hockey, and he hosts a podcast. So I've been getting requests from an agency that represents him. Like, really? I must need an agency to represent me. No, I don't. I'll do my own stuff. Thank you very much. But I keep getting a request to have him on the show. I don't know who this guy is. I haven't listened to his podcast whatsoever. But now they've changed tactics. I get an email yesterday. Hey, congratulations to the success of the Blue Jackets. We would like to have you come on the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Hey, you know, they're buttering me up. They go, hey, Doc Emmerich has been on. Jeremy Roenick has been on. Well, then, of course, I belong on that show. Of course I do. There's no question about that. I would be much more entertaining probably than both of them combined. I don't know. But anyway, so I just find it funny. One of the greatest things about the playoffs is that you're everywhere. I mean, yesterday, I did three interviews yesterday. One was in Lima with our network station in Lima, which is a normal thing. I love doing that. Actually, I did four. I did one on our network station in Delaware. And then I did one in Cleveland yesterday, which was awesome. And in Nashville last night with the Predators show that they continued to do as their season had ended. So yeah, everybody reaches out to you. And believe me, the minute it's over, you are irrelevant. But right now, the Blue Jackets are very relevant, and it is so much fun. Tonight, 7:30 at Nationwide Arena, it is Game 4, the Blue Jackets and the Bruins. Our pregame coverage starts at 6:30 tonight on the Blue Jackets Radio Network. That includes the flagship station, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, and the network stations in Ohio, and the couple we have in West Virginia. Also, you can find it on the Blue Jackets app and at BlueJackets.com. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for being with me. Blue Jackets and Bruins tonight. Until tomorrow, I'm Bob McKelligan saying so long.